And having agreed with the laborers for a penny a day, he sent them into his vineyard. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost, amen. Septuagesima Sunday. We're not doing penance yet, but we're thinking about doing penance. We are Christians, I mean. The world's not particularly. Our society this Sunday is turned almost exclusively to the sports pages and to the weather pages. Probably with some relief, everyone today is talking about, what about them Colts, or this is awfully cold weather, isn't it? People are distracted today, and as I say, happily so, from all of last week's chilling reminders of not only the plan of the foe, but also of how venal, how ignorant and incompetent people can be. When I look at the scene in the Novus Ordo Archdiocese of Cincinnati, or even in the federal government in Washington, D.C., I remember something my great-uncle, Father Patrick Dolan, used to tell me when he was talking about current events. Sometimes he would say, and they're paid to do this. Just think of that. So many people with so much power who are being paid so much, who are really so ignorant, so venal, so incompetent, that most people continue to go to party meetings or Novus Ordos, and they continue to donate and to vote and all of the rest, and you wonder, doesn't anybody get it? The answer, of course, is that there is an astounding level of incompetence, true, but the bad news is that the conspiracy doesn't seem especially checked by that level of human failure, what Father Chicada likes to call the duh factor, which happens almost every day when you try to do business with people. No, their business, the devil's business, is selling like hotcakes. And still it goes on. Consider the scene in the local archdiocese. Here you have the man, the protege of that very immoral Bernardin. His name is Pilarczyk. He has been presiding over this archdiocese, and at the beginning he sent the bad, wicked, very, very immoral priests from one place to another and hid them and covered for them. And then, of course, in due time, it all comes out in the press, and people file lawsuits, and millions of dollars are paid, and other people stop going and contribute less. And now the same man sort of matter-of-factly announces, well, now we'll have to start closing down the schools. And life goes on. No one seems to notice. The same thing in the matter of Washington, particularly of the war. I'm sure that some of you who didn't want to get the picture, oh, say, 6 years ago or even 2 years ago, now, by the way, this year, every person in America, including children, will be paying $800 for the debacle that's going on, this tribal intra-Muslim warfare that only promotes the interests of the conspiracy in the Middle East. But despite all of the veneer of self-serving and of incompetence, they are succeeding. They go every day to work and to work hard. What about you? Are you going into the vineyard as our Lord wants to hire you this morning, this great Sunday of purple, and of at least planning for penance, and of the De Profundis, with Lent looming in 2.5 weeks. We commemorate today, lest ever we should be too bitter in our zeal, the gentle saint of Geneva, Francis de Sales, towards the end now of his octave, as our patron saint in this same archdiocese. But before him comes another saint. He's a saint of penance. He made his mother to be a working mom when it comes to prayers. That's a tautology, because every Christian mother is a real worker. Of course she is. This is his story. I was able to visit his tomb in Italy the last time Father Cicada and I were there for an ordination. It's in the Carmelite Church in Florence. We had actually gone to that church to see some magnificent frescoes of a man called Masaccio. While we were there, I saw a big saint's chapel, but no obvious name. So I asked one of the fathers that was there, a Carmelite priest, sort of broken Italian, "Buongiorno, padre, che santo qui?" And he looked at me, so much as if to say, the Carmelite priest did, "Well, what's the matter with you?" "Of course, Sant'Andrea Corsini. It's St. Andrew Corsini who's buried here." He, as a young man, gave his mother great grief. He was very, very wicked. Ran all over the place, all over town. In Florence, you always had the possibility of doing that. It's a very sinful city. Well, finally, his mother, in desperation, sat him down one day and said, "Listen, when I was carrying you, I had a dream that I gave birth to a wolf. That was you, running all over the place. But one day, when you crossed the threshold of the Carmelite church, you turned into a lamb." That story, that one conversation, after so many tears and pleadings and arguments, moved young Andrew, and he became a Carmelite, known for his penance, with the great grace of making people live at peace with each other by means of a true devotion to our Blessed Mother. He dedicated the rest of his life to doing penance for his own sins. Souls are out there if only we are willing to work to try to save them. St. Gregory the Great, a long time ago, tells the story of his own monastery, how a certain man joined when he was converted from leading a bad life, and his brother came along for the ride. He lived in the monastery, he had no place else to go, and out of love for the brother, who was a good monk, the other monks put up with the ne'er-do-well. He scandalized everyone by his conduct, but one day he caught an illness. There was an epidemic in Rome, and he lay dying, and the monks all came, of course they did, to pray around his bedside. And he was starting to die, St. Gregory says. You know how death comes slowly, and the feet and the fingertips had lost sensation already. And at some point, as he was slowly dying, he said, the dying man did, to the monks, "Go away from here so the devil can finish me off. He's got my head in his mouth, and he's trying to devour me." Well, the monk said to him, "At least make the sign of the cross." "I'd like to," he said. And this whole story reminds me so much of the priest I'm going to see tonight, Father Siordia in Mexico, of his experiences with the devil still today. It's all real. "I'd like to," the man said, "but the devil has my hands in handcuffs, and the foam from that dragon's mouth is smeared all over mine, and I can't pray." So the monks did. They prayed, and they prayed some more. And then the man came to, and he said he was free. The devil had fled because of the prayers of that handful of good men. Who would believe, Gregory the Great asks, that a man of years of serious sinning could be converted on his deathbed? Who can plumb the depths of the mercies of God? St. Gregory the Great tells us something which is as fresh as yesterday's news. But it takes prayer. That's our job. Go you also into my vineyard and work. Now, what wages will you agree on with the Lord of the vineyard? Many of you, like Mrs. Corsini, have got a soul or two that you need to get converted. The very best way is to turn to the Mother of God. St. Andrew Corsini became a Carmelite, and we're all honorary Carmelites, remember, by our brown scapular we wear every day, the sign of our consecration to Mary's Immaculate Heart. The very best way to work is with Mary and her heart towards the Sacred Heart. This is the devotion that I want to promote, as it were, to you and to suggest as our common theme for this coming season of Lent. The Sacred Heart, the font, the source, the ocean of mercy for sinners. Some of you know, and you've practiced, what's called the great promise of the 9 first Fridays. If you make them, you will not die in God's disgrace. But did you know there are 11 other promises? Very beautiful, very helpful and useful for men. If only we would try to make them our own. Why should you agree on a minimum wage when you go to work in God's vineyard? Our Lord is offering something higher, a bonus, but only if you claim it and you ask for it. That is our common work this Lent. Sinners will find in my heart an ocean of mercy. An ocean has no limits, just like the sins of some people. A sinner needs two things. He needs to turn away from his sins, and then he needs to turn to God. But for that, he needs grace. I talked to the children Friday night about the light going on upstairs. His intellect must be enlightened, and his will has to be made strong. It's awfully weak, or it's actually handcuffed right now by the devil. And he can't pray. The devil's got the foam from his dragon mouth all over that poor sinner's mouth. He needs you to pray for him. And then after that, he's going to need the theological virtues. It always starts with a stirring up of faith again. Yes, there is a God. I believe. But after that, the devil's very clever. He'll try to inspire despair. So a sinner needs hope. I can get there if you'll help me. But even that is not enough. Finally, does he need charity? And this is where the Sacred Heart devotion is so excellent. It is so sure and so sweet a way to get those sinners there back to the love of God. Charity for these souls will produce charity in those souls by a devotion to the Sacred Heart. Be an apostle of this devotion, this Lent. Why stand you here all the day idle? Isn't that pretty much of a summary of the way most of us lead our lives? And the other people, they go right on. They are at work today, and they will be at work tomorrow. And the devil manages even to use their self-serving, their ignorance, and their incompetence to promote his own ends. But Almighty God, in that ocean of his mercy, takes all of your faults and your physical illnesses and all of the evils under which you suffer in order to accomplish his merciful end. He told, the Sacred Heart did, St. Margaret Mary, I will reign despite my enemies, and I will accomplish my plan for which I have chosen you. You'd better believe it. You can bet on it. But what is required of us today is that we too go into the vineyard and that we get to work. God bless you. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and the Holy Ghost. Amen.